May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I promised Karen every day that I would make these two little announcements. One is there's some paperwork back there about a conference that we do next week called Experiencing a Signs and Wonders Lifestyle. It starts on Wednesday night, but again, there's some flyers back there. And then the latest booklet called Joseph, the Foster Father of Jesus. I think there are several booklets back there. We wrote this one so that during Advent, you can read it every day, once a day. But it's not meant just to be an Advent devotional. It's just for any time. It's about like 50 pages, more like a little book. My favorite one that we've done was on the armor of God. I think it's a real liberating one, but they may all be back there, but this is the newest one. This is from Galatians chapter 1. This is verse 15 and 16. But when he who had set me apart, even from my mother, even from my mother's womb, called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Paul is talking about the gospel, and he talks about the gospel is that when the Lord revealing to him, revealing his son in him, not just revealing his son to him, he had already encountered Christ, but revealing his son in him. There's a place in Ephesians chapter 1 that says, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so it's easy to describe the gospel, the good news, as your inclusion into the life that Jesus lives and the favor that he lives under. If a person doesn't understand that description or kind of description of the gospel, then they don't really understand how big the good news really is, how massive the good news really is. Our inclusion into the life that Jesus is living now and the favor that he lives under. Instead of us begging God for favor, trying to jump through hoops so that we earn positions of favor, that we come to recognize that I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places just because I've been included in his life, because I'm in Christ. And we can begin to take those things out for a spin. When Paul wrote the book of 2 Corinthians, or the letter of 2 Corinthians, he had written 1 Corinthians to try to bring a word of correction to where the church was and the mess and divisions that they were in. In light of the fact they didn't really respond to that, he wrote another letter that we don't have a record of, that he refers to in 2 Corinthians 7, that's often referred to as the stinging letter. Paul said, it wasn't my goal to make you sorrowful, but that you would be sorrowful unto repentance. And then he sent Titus with that letter, his disciple, his son in the Lord, and for Titus to see and wait to see if the Corinthians would respond, because Paul was their spiritual father. And they did respond in a positive way. And so 2 Corinthians is Paul's writing to them in light of the fact that there's been some repentance. And he speaks to them about some important issues. But by the time you get to the last chapter, he kind of reinforces some things. Because one of the reasons they didn't respond to 1 Corinthians is that other people had said that Paul wasn't a true apostle, that Paul talked about Christ living his life through him, that wasn't really true, and all that kind of stuff. And so Paul, even though they've repented, at least at some level, when he's writing 2 Corinthians, he's celebrating that fact, but also still cleaning up a little bit of the mess. One of the things that Paul had said earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is that we have this treasure. That's the glory of God in the person of Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, which is us, so that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from us. So as Paul is hammering down again the truth about the gospel, that we have the treasure of the life of Christ in us, so that the surpassing greatness of the power, the ability, supernatural ability of the Christian life is from God and not from us. So when you get to chapter 13, I'll just read a few verses. He says, this is the third time I'm coming to you. Every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I have previously said and present the second time, and though now absent, I say in advance to those who have sinned in the past and to all the rest as well, that if I come again, I will not spare anyone. Since you are seeking for proof of the Christ who speaks in me and who is not weak into you in union with you, but he's mighty in you. He's hammering down again about the gospel. It's about Christ. It's about Christ, and he's the only one who can live the Christian life. He says in verse 4, for indeed he, Jesus, was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. Now hear that again. For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, because of not sin, He took on our sin, but in his frail humanity, he was surrendered to and was crucified. God can't die, but Jesus did. He says, "For we also are weak in him, yet we shall live with him because of the power of God." We shall live in union with him because of the power of God. In other words, Christ died because of weakness, and he lives because of the power of God. And we are also weak in him, but we live in union with him by the power of God. And then the very next verse, in verse 5, he says, "Test yourself to see if you're in the faith, and examine yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, not for you, not just died for you, but Jesus Christ is in you, unless you fail the test?" In the new, I think in the King James it says, "unless you're a reprobate or a phony, a hypocrite, not the real deal." He said, here's the acid test whether or not a person's Christian. Not their baptism, not their church membership, not how faithful they are going to church, not how good they're trying to be. The acid test is this: does Jesus Christ live in you? Now here's the thing, if somebody were to say, "Well, I don't know, I'm not sure," that's like saying, "I just got run over by a truck, I think, but I'm not sure." Jesus Christ can't live in you and you not know it. You might suppress him, you might not surrender to him, but you know he's there, because he is the only way to live the Christian life. We live in union with him by the power of God. We're weak in him. In other words, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, "For in my weakness, his strength is made perfect." My weaknesses aren't points of disqualification. My weaknesses posture me to be reminded, just like the crook on a shepherd's staff, that only Jesus can live his life through me by the power of God. I remember when I first started walking with the Lord, I thought my weaknesses were all a curse that kept me from experiencing the life and life more abundant that Jesus died for me to experience. He said, "I'm to reign in life with the one Christ Jesus," and yet I was not, because I had so many weaknesses in my life that I just considered them curses. And I could also look back and see situations and circumstances in life that the enemy used to cultivate the specific kind of weaknesses that I had, though every person as a result of the fall has weakness. But I understood where they came from, at least at some level. I understood how weak I was. And so I spent the first few years of my Christian life begging God to take those weaknesses away, because I thought they disqualified me. And I wanted to live the victorious Christian life. And then when I got this revelation, I didn't get it, it's the Bible, but when God used specific mentors and teachers, and I saw that, wow, Jesus Christ has come to live inside of me. He wants to live his life through me. But man, if I just weren't so screwed up, he could do that. If I could just get him to take these weaknesses away, then he could do that. But there's no way he can live through me because I'm such a mess. And then at some point, maybe 6 months after I first saw that Christ had come to live in me, to live his life through me by the power of God, I then realized, whoa, in his brilliance, in his genius, these weaknesses don't disqualify me. They're holy reminders to me that every step of the way, only Christ can live the Christian life. For I have the treasure in an earthen vessel, a fragile clay pot, so that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. It starts, though, with the revelation that being saved means, Paul said it, Christ lives in you. That's what it means to be a new creation. It's Christ living in you that makes you a new creation. Our inclusion into the life that Jesus lives and the favor that he lives under, that's the simple and powerful gospel. And my weaknesses don't disqualify me from experiencing that, experiencing the life that Jesus lives through me, experiencing the favor that Jesus lives under. If I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, past tense, have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, then that every means every. There's nothing missing. Every spiritual blessing that Christ carries, I carry. But it was so liberating when I discovered that's the gospel. And then later, here's the equation. In my weakness, his strength is made perfect. And I was free to stop being ashamed of being weak, because I understood the great exchange, his strength for my weakness. Paul went and said in 2 Corinthians, he said, "I will therefore boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ will tabernacle on my life." He didn't say I stayed weak. He says, "For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." And so the liberating issue is that Christ can only live the Christian life but I'm so weak. But that doesn't disqualify me. It actually postures me and positions me to live by faith, to look to Him, because only He can live the Christian life. And without the weaknesses, maybe I think I could. And therefore, I get caught up in the horror of trying to live for Christ instead of living from Christ. And my weaknesses are constant reminders that I must live from Christ. Because if I try to live for Christ, even out of sincerity, I will burn out and I will fail. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.